Welcome to the CA, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. This podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor. So if you get offended, switch off. The CA records each Sunday live from Apostasy Studios. For more, please visit our Facebook page for the latest news, updates, and previews on some upcoming shows. You can email us at theca@rogers.com, and if we're amused or tweaked by your email, we'll use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
And hello, and welcome to the CA. Today is Sunday, May the 7th. I am Michael.
I'm Dean.
And this is episode 9. Can you believe that?
I know, eh? We're almost in double digits.
I know, it's fucked up. Although, I think it took us less time to get to double digits than it took the Jays to get to double digits in wins this year.
Poor Jays.
Yeah, they took a little bit of beating, but they won today. Did they win last night?
I thought they did.
I think they won last night, too.
Yeah.
Get my wife up here. She'll be able to say, yes, they won, and they won by this score. Because she's, yeah, you touch... fanatic sounds... No, she's not a fanatic.
No, she's a fan. But not when a fanatic. She, a yeah, fan.
But when she gets into something, she's into something. Luckily, she's into me. Yeah. So, okay. So, we got a bunch of stuff to do today. We got a whole... I think it actually weighs in at a metric fuck ton of news stories. We're going to do another one in our series of talking to a pastor. I got a brand new series... to start, seven things, it's very interesting, seven things you should be willing to give up as a Christian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, what? You mean like physical things or like...
Well, just things in general.
Okay.
Just things in general. Just, you know, and it's not on the list, but I'm sure it's at the top of the list, is probably oral sex.
Well, my friend, he's actually, like, I was talking about the debate I was having online, and he was saying that, you know, like, you have to get behind science. He says that, I like living in a world with airplanes, elevators, and cell phones.
Yeah, exactly. And blowjobs.
And blowjobs.
And what else? And we're going to do our fallacy today. We're going to do straw man. And that should be enough. I think that should be enough trouble for us to get into.
On this glorious Sunday.
On this glorious Sunday. On this glorious Sunday where, where there appear to be no gods. All right, so let's jump in. So Dean, in the series we were doing, talk to a church leader. Mm-hmm. The last week we talked about what happens to evangelism, and last week we talked about question six, and we both kind of like, what the fuck? So question six was, what happens to discipleship?
Discipleship.
In a virtual environment. Well, let's find out. Christian maturity is not marked by how much you know. It's marked by how much you love.
that's a special requirement for tenure.
Yep. And so I can't take this seriously. The very next line is, love has an outward thrust. I shit you not. I didn't write this. And love has an outward thrust.
Yes, it does.
Exactly. And if you're really, really lucky, she'll let you put it in the bad place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then it's a tight thrust. It's a really tight. Oh, yeah. It's a really tight thrust. Okay. Sure. To grow as a disciple, you need to consume. You know? I swear I didn't write this. I swear this is not a parody.
It's got an outward thrust. And it grows and you consume.
Yeah, I'm Who telling you. I didn't. This? This is not a parody. This is not a parody. I did not
there
write
was
this.
That guy that... It was... It's He's a pastor or one of those... what do you call it? Televangelist or whatever. But he said... don't swallow what the devil tries to thrust down your throat. Jesus comes first.
That was Joel Osteen. Yeah. There was a funny meme.
There was a meme, yeah.
There was a meme. So for those of you who don't know who Joel Osteen is, he's the tooth man. He's on now. His teeth are spectacular, right? But he's got chiclets. And he's got two rows of chiclets. Now, there's a great meme online. where it shows him with that phrase.
Yeah.
And underneath it's Archer.
Archer.
It's like, holy shit, Joel, are we not phrasing anymore?
It's like, Joel, phrasing.
Yeah, or something like that, yeah.
Jesus comes first.
Well, that's very selfish.
Don't swallow what the devil tries to shove down your throat.
Okay. So, all right, you need to consume. So listen to messages and podcasts. Take online seminary classes and do what you need to do. So this is what the whole, you know, so we talked yesterday, you know, kind of the virtual environment, you know, what do you do if you're not going to church and the whole virtual
thing. So this is just regular Joey supposed to put all these hours in?
I guess so. Yeah. But consumption never has to be the goal of true discipleship. Jesus never asked you to be a disciple. He called you to make disciples. Now it's interesting. Because what Jesus did ask of his disciples, and it's, I think it's Matthew 10, I'm not 100% sure, I'll have to look it up. But right after 10:34, when he says, do not think I've come to bring peace, I haven't come to bring peace but a sword.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to, some versions say division, but King James says sword. And then it also says that if you do not hate your family and your all these other things, and in fact, if you do not hate yourself, or your own life, pardon me, you cannot be one of my disciples. So Jesus actually asked you to do a lot worse.
But he's saying you don't have to, Jesus didn't ask you to be a disciple, he asked you to make disciples?
Right. But
so if everybody follows that, there's no disciples. It's just people trying to make other disciples.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't have to be one. I'm trying to make you one. But I don't have to be
one. That's like the most fucked up multi-level marketing thing ever. No. It's all about you. It's not about me. If your mantra in avoiding other Christians on Sunday and consuming what you feel like on Monday is to build yourself up, you've lost the mission. I don't even know what that means. Does that make any sense to you?
No.
No.
Maybe it was a... I don't know.
Maybe you fucked it up.
Maybe it was an internet.
Or maybe we fucked it up.
Maybe.
We might have fucked it up. Okay, maybe. And take two. Okay, so next week we'll do... How much a virtual experience actually translates. I guess it depends how much you consume.
Well, we're just going to do another translation of the Bible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Anonymous translation.
Yeah. So keeping in that vein of the whole church thing, I found a whole new... So if you haven't gone to look, there's this website called Christian Week. And I get a lot of shit from Christian Week. So Christian Week is broken up. It's like the main site, and there's like six different kind of subheadings. And it's blogs, it's news stories, it's some pretty funny shit. So there's a new series that I want to start today, and it's here are seven things Christians should give up to reach unchurched people.
Unchurched.
Unchurched. Have you been churched? All right.
I've been schooled.
Schooled.
Which is better than church.
Exactly. Exactly. I done learned something. All right. So the article starts out like this. So you want your church to reach people who don't go to church. That's wonderful because that's basically the mission of the church, not according to this other article. To share the love of Christ with the world in the hopes that everyone will come into a come into a relationship with Jesus. I don't write these things. The challenge is that unchurched people aren't exactly flocking to most churches.
Well, they're unchurched.
Well, hello, paging Captain fucking obvious.
Well, I mean, when if you... this is the whole thing. Like, if you get married in a church, don't you have to become a member of that church?
I think in some cases. I know that when one of my sisters got married, this is going back a long time, this is 25 years ago. She got married, and the expectation was that her and her then fiance would go a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And would pay a little fee or something like that. And they had to pay to get married in the church, even though they were quote-unquote members
shit. You have to pay the priest whatever it is, but you have to go to classes, right? And you have to be a member of that church. I thought that's how it worked.
I don't know. I didn't get married. Did you get married in the church?
No.
Oh, yeah. I didn't
get married. That's why I'm asking, because I don't know.
I didn't get married in a fucking church. When we got married, we found basically one of those online kind of things where, you know, because you can pick your whole thing and everything else like that. We met with the officiant, basically.
That's what we had, yeah.
And sat down, and she was lovely. And she kind of had all these kind of stock things. Like, here's some examples of shit I've done. And we found one that was really good. And she talked, we met at, like, Boston Pizza or some shit like that. Sat down for, like, an hour, talked, got to know each other a little bit. And that's when I was able to say, no God.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
no, that's
exactly what we did, too. We met up with the officiant, and we told him, like, he had those different papers, different things that he could read. We found a really nice one. It said, like, it started out with friendship and how it grows and all that kind of stuff. And I said to him before he even, like, came up with that one, I said, like, we're not mentioning God at all in this ceremony. And, you know, we were totally on board with that. And he was like, yeah, sure, whatever, that's totally fine. And, like, either way you want to go. And then he had this really nice thing that he read about friendship. And there you go. That's
what we want. We had a couple people that didn't come to our wedding.
Really?
Because of it.
Wow.
And there was one couple who came, stayed for, like, just the ceremony, and then got the fuck out of Dodge.
Wow. You don't need them there.
No, exactly. But, and I mean, was it because that they were offended? Maybe. And zero fucks were given.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Okay, so, sorry, getting off track. So, okay, so, what did I say here? Unchurched people aren't exactly flocking to most churches, no fucking shit. And many Christians are stumped as to why that is. That means the Christians that are stumped are stupid. there are many reasons, but a surprising number center around one thing. Christians who treat the church like it's their own private club. I found that really weird too. But it's funny because in thinking back to it, I have conversations with lots of people, lots of like conversations online. I seek out people to talk to. I'll wear obnoxious atheist t-shirts in public just in the hopes that someone will start a conversation with me and stuff like that. And I do hear a lot, my church, my church, my church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I do hear that a lot. Maybe that's what this columnist is referencing.
But it's not an exclusive club. It's not like anybody who wants to join can join.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like they're saying my church, my church, my church, but it's not like you can't go.
Well, but there are some cases where that's true. For example, you can't just join a synagogue.
Why not?
So here, so funny story. In my quest, right? I would go to all kinds of churches,
mm-hmm.
Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, they're fun, and stuff like that. I went to a synagogue. I went to Beth Tikva, which is on Bathurst Street, just south of Eglinton, if memory serves, on the west side. Went in there, sat down, everything else like that, and I was asked to leave.
Somebody just walked up to you?
The Jewish fuzz came up. I shit you not, two dudes came up to me and said, what are you doing here? I'm like, well, what's everybody doing here?
What are any of us doing here?
Exactly. That's a very existential question. So I said, well, I'm doing what everybody else is doing. I am not Jewish, but I'm here to learn. I'm here to investigate, maybe ask some people some questions,
yeah.
Things like that. And I was told, you're making some people here very uncomfortable. I was fucking sitting there. I didn't do shit. I hadn't spoken to anyone.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't put my devil horns on that day. I didn't.
They're poking at anything.
Exactly. I hadn't done anything. I hadn't spoken to a soul. Now, I wasn't wearing a yarmulke.
It's just the look of you.
Just the look of me. Was my fucking ginger ass
was,
in there.
So upsetting some people.
Maybe. And they said, we're I'm sorry, but we have to ask you to leave. And I was like, are you serious? And just one guy was like, yeah, I'm serious. And I was like, well, okay.
GTFO.
And so I got up and I turned around and then as I stood up, they were like kind of, I don't know whether they thought I was going to fucking streak down the aisle or like rip my shirt, rip my clothes off and fucking run, blah, 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 or something like that. I didn't know what they thought I was going to do. But as soon as I stood up, they were kind of like corralling me.
Flanking you?
Yeah. Like close to the way to, it's like shoe little man. And so I turned around and I said to them, I said, I just want to thank you for making me feel so welcome.
Yeah. In this place of worship.
I didn't say that. All I said was make me feel welcome. And one of them had kind of a weird look on his face. The other guy looked like, whatever, go away. And so I left.
Yeah.
And that was it. And maybe I'll talk about that more in another episode or something like that. It was interesting, but it was weird. So I don't think you can, like, no. I think I've gone into, like, okay, so in Oshawa, right? Town, not, you know, kind of the next town close to us. Still all part of Durham region. I went into Calvary Baptist Church at Ritson and Roslyn. Went in, sat down, and they're just this side of Holy Rollers. Dancing in the fucking aisles.
Really?
Oh, like hands up, baby, hands up, give me your, like all that shit, man. There were like seriously like one guy in front of me when I went there, he had tears coming down his face.
Wow.
And stuff like that, like really, really crazy, crazy.
Is that like a weekly thing for these people? Do they weep every week?
I don't know. I didn't ask. Do you cry every week when you're
motherfucker?
Are you emotionally unstable? No, I didn't ask. But
all of your meds.
Exactly. Can I arrange a safe environment for you tonight? I don't know. But so I think in a lot of places you can't just kind of walk in any church, right? But I think there are some instances where you can't. But anyway, so the whole kind of private club thing, I think maybe that's where. Now, I'm wondering too if that's maybe people feel like it's insular. You know everybody that's there, close knit people,
yeah.
Hard for an outsider to break in. Maybe that's what they mean. I don't know.
I don't know what it's like being in church. Like, I wouldn't know. Do you know everybody else, or is it just like?
I don't know.
Mainly just being quiet, right?
Not at fucking Calvary Baptist.
Well, you're sitting in your pew and you're listening to the one dude. You're not really talking to people five pews ahead of you.
Like, no, but they do have that thing, right? It's the same as like when you go to church and you, they do this at Catholic church. I've been to a bunch of like your weddings.
Well, you'd say to the people around.
Exactly, and I don't do that. I will not, this drives my wife up the fucking wall. Well, I don't know how much it really drives her crazy. I know it makes her very uncomfortable. But because we've gone for weddings, funeral, kind of the marry and bury 'em kind of thing. We've gone for weddings, we've gone for funerals, we've gone for the things, stuff like that. I won't go for confirmations and baptisms and shit like that. I'm like, that's fucking child abuse. I'm not going to get involved in that. But so I abstain. Yeah. From that. It's the only thing I do abstain from, but I abstain from that. What was I going to say?
That you're going to the...
Oh, right. And they do the whole shaky-shaky and stuff like that. Whenever they stand for something, I sit.
Okay.
And now, I'm not a total fucking raging cock. When they sit, I don't stand. I don't put on fucking Oppositeville. But I won't engage... In the dogma,
yeah.
I won't engage in the pomp and everything of it. I fuck you. No, I won't do that. So okay, so private club. You're a huge fan of science.
Yes. Right?
So the next line in this has some science in it, just for you. The gravitational pull. I can't even say it with a straight face. The gravitational pull of human nature is towards self.
What?
I lied. There's no science. not towards others. And churches behave the same way. You will focus almost exclusively on your needs and wants unless you decide not to. That's like a could have had a V8 moment. Like, no shit. I'll focus on my shit unless I decide not to.
Yeah. Again, Captain Obvious.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. All those things that are like right out in the middle, nothing gets by this guy.
You would be wearing shoes unless you decide not to. Yeah, okay, thanks.
It's true. Okay. And that's exactly what far too many churches do. they focus exclusively on the needs and the wants of their members. Okay, now. Okay. It's worse than that, Dean. And I didn't say that. He said this.
He said it's worse than that?
Dean? Is it worse than that? No, it's worse than that. Maybe it's not even about needs and wants. Maybe it's about preference.
Sexual preference?
I don't know. So many church leaders, staff and volunteer, struggle to lead beyond the preferences of the church members. And as soon as they try, they get inundated with complaints and angry emails. Too many Christians feel like it's their right to have church that caters only exactly to their tastes and their whims. And millions are paying the price for that. Catering to the preference of members is a terrible idea for three reasons. First, it's killing the church. Not fast enough, in my opinion. Yeah. Attendance continues to stagnate or decline as people drift further and further from Christ. Second, it's an unwinnable game. Well, I think religion is mostly, but anyway. Even in a church of 100 people, you'll never be able to please everyone.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can please some of the people some of the time and not all the people all the time.
Right. Finally, and most importantly, it's just wrong. Since when did the personal preferences of members become a legitimate reason to keep people away from God's love? Shame, shame, shame.
So, well, since when did it become... Because the whole thing is trying to get people to do what you want.
Yeah, pretty much. When your preference keeps unchurched people from the promise of Christ, it's time to change your preferences.
Whatever.
So this is just a big lead up into the seven things. That was just the lead up.
This is the... Okay.
Into the seven things. We won't do all seven, because otherwise it'll be, okay, gotta go to work now. Yeah. Bye. All right. So, number one. Okay, hang on. So here are seven things Christians should give up to reach unchurched people.
Okay, this guy's actually telling you what you should give up.
Yeah.
To reach the unchurched.
The first one, or I don't think there's any particular order, but yeah. Number one on his list is music.
Give up music.
Yeah. You would think by now we might have solved this one, but even churches who think they've solved it often haven't. Many churches who call themselves contemporary aren't. They're just more contemporary than they used to be. Have you listened to the top 40 on iTunes or Spotify recently? No, I hate most top 40 music. and he thinks probably not too. So he's right. Maybe this is like divine revelation or something like that.
Maybe.
Because you hate that music. Mostly I do. You even tell yourself it isn't music. Mostly I do. There's no guitar. It's all beats. And what's with the vocal Olympics? The hard part is, I agree with almost everything this guy's saying. Because the whole idea of auto-tune,
yeah.
You know what I want to do? Is I want to shove an auto-tuner up somebody's ass and listen to the fart.
Well,
and hear what it does with that.
The auto-tune, it started gaining some traction, and then it just went away. Nobody uses it anymore.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. That's how much I listen to top 40 music. All right.
Like, the first time I ever heard it was Cher with that song that she released a few years ago. And then some other people used it, and now they don't use it anymore.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Okay. What's with Vocal Olympics? Okay. Why can't they make music? Why can't they make music like they used to? Although this guy says in the 90s.
In my day.
In my day. Yeah. Okay. Which may be part of the reason your church struggles to reach anyone under 40. Be honest. Don't call yourself contemporary if you're some paler version of it. Self-awareness and honesty actually matter if you're trying to reach unchurched people. Sadly, well-meaning, self-deception runs rampant in church leadership today. Be truthful about what you're doing. If you are, it just might make you frustrated enough to make you change. In the meantime, realize that despite all the change, you will still be miles away from being relevant to the people around you. If you want more on music, There are five ways. I don't want to get into those other things.
Well, wait, he didn't mention music.
No, I know.
They just said give up music, and then he went on to a whole bunch of other stupid shit.
Yeah. I think if you read, so, because I've read the whole thing. If you read between the lines, he's talking about getting away from the organ music and the hallelujahs and shit like
boring
that.
Boring as all hell.
Exactly.
Singing out
and
of
getting
Bible
into more, you know, a little bit more, you know, a little bit more contemporary stuff.
Christian rock.
Now, what's funny about that is that when I went to, so we talked about Calvary Baptist, right? When I went there, they had a fucking, it's like Pretty Woman. It's like, ooh, look, there's a band. There was a band.
Yeah.
Up there. There was a dude on drums. And there was a guitarist and a bassist and a vocalist and some dude there with like a shaky thing, tambourines or something. You know? And
maracas?
No, the what the fuck you call that thing? The jingle that is this tambourine?
Yeah.
Okay, I know lots about my music. with a tambourine and stuff like that, and you know shaky whatever, but it was still crap, right?
Yeah.
Because it was all like, you know, let God guide you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I just know. This side of Jesus take the wheel.
The kind message of thing. Is just way out there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, all right. I'll give you a hint about number two is. It's politics. But we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
Mm. So this next story, there's kind of two pieces kind of tied into it. So the first thing is, I have to ask you is, Dean, where do you look for answers to life's big questions?
NASA?
Okay, all right. So I got this little pamphlet here. And now, so I said, right, front-facing job, right? I interact with the people daily basis. Dude hands me this.
You get this from one of your patrons?
Mm-hmm. Dude just fucking hands this to me. And it's a pamphlet, and there's an invitation. We'll get to that after.
There's always an invitation.
There's an invitation. All right. So the very front of it has a cell phone on the front of it, and it says, you know, where do you get the answers to life's big questions?
Google.
Exactly. Google. Hey, Siri. I'm glad my computer didn't answer me there for a second, because I have it on my... are the answers in science?
Yes, they are.
Philosophy?
Could be.
Or the Bible?
No, it's definitely not the Bible.
Definitely not the Bible?
Like, the thing that we always, scientifically minded people, or Matt Dillahunty and things like that, they say, like, it's the best, science is the best tool we have so far to determine fact from fiction.
Right, to examine the world around us,
It's an examination of the physical world to tell us what is true and what is not.
Well, it's funny you say truth. Because when you open up the pamphlet, it says, a Bible writer said to God, give me understanding. Your word is truth. And that's Psalm 119:44. Of course, and this will give it away, from the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures.
Do we know who this Bible writer was?
Of course not.
It's just some dude.
Of course not. Most of the authors of the Bible, you have no fucking idea who it was.
Yeah.
But do you know who uses the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures?
No.
Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. Okay. Now, but let's get back to how. So dude fucking hands me this.
Yeah.
It's like, here you go. I'm like, thanks.
I don't want your garbage.
Now, I try not to look in the mirror too much because it's terrifying. No. But do you have to look at me. Do I have, hey, give me religious shit tattooed or fucking written on my forehead?
You don't need to for these people. These people just give it to everybody.
So here you go.
It's like sending out mass, those ads that come up on the internet. They show it to everybody because you never know who's going to click on it.
Right. I didn't click on it. Fucking handed to me.
Exactly. It's showing you the ad. Now you got to click on it by going to their stupid invitation.
Of course I opened it. All right. So it says you can read online content. They offer the Bible in 100 languages. answers to Bible questions, help for families, always a good thing. You can watch Bible-based...
Answers to Bible questions?
It says answers to Bible questions.
Can you write your own questions?
I don't know. I was told there'd be no math.
We gotta check that out.
Okay, we will. Watch Bible-based videos. Lessons and songs for children. Advice for teenagers. And faith in action. Now, you can also download publications. You can download...
Is that faith in action or faith in action? Like the inaction of faith?
Well, paging Dr. Freud. I don't know. I think they mean faith in action. I think they do. I'm going to put on my Christian hat for a moment and say they mean faith in action.
Yeah.
You young devil worshiper, you.
That was very good.
You just need Jesus to come inside you. I mean, you can also download publications. The brochure, Good News from God. The book, What Does the Bible Really Teach? Now, I wonder if I could get a credit in that book.
Why is there a book? Isn't reading the Bible, shouldn't you know that by reading the Bible? Why do they have to make a book about what the Bible really teaches? Shouldn't it be evident?
Why are you asking me? But it's interesting because that prompts an interesting question, right? What does the Bible really teach? Now, I forget the Bible word. I forget the Bible verse. But the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. The Bible also says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching.
Yes.
So that makes me think about Leviticus 20:13, right? If a man lays with a man, as he does a woman, he's done something despicable and must be put to death. That's not a good thing.
Is that in the book what it actually teaches?
No, they probably glaze over that one.
Yeah.
That's probably not...
whole stoning your children for disobeying you, they probably glaze over that too.
Yeah, probably. And then last but certainly not least, the magazine Watchtower and Awake. This can all be found at jw.org. I know you're thinking to yourself, why the fuck are you promoting the JW website?
I was about to say.
But, no, seriously, go there. Maybe you can find somebody to troll. It could be fun. Now, let's get to the invitation. So there's a little, and it's all in color, right? So I'm sure they're spending a metric fuck ton of money on this shit. And it's two sides. It says, you're invited to study the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses. Happy are those conscious of their spiritual need. So then it says, at our public meetings, you can go to public meetings and then look, there's even a stamp on here, 1950 Wilson Road North in Oshawa, Sunday at 4 PM or Thursday at 7:30, or with a personal instructor. Now here's the thing, instructors, they will never send one person to your house. I studied with witnesses for almost 3 years. I went through the Bible, God's Word, or Man's. I went through the Live Forever book. I went through all of them. I'm not a glutton for punishment, but I love this shit. It's really a lot of fun. And they will never... See, everything has to be sex, right? They'll always tag team you. It's never one-on-one. And the reason for it, so let's say you called this place. Let's say, because there's a number right there.
Yeah.
Let's say you called them and said, I want a Bible study. They would send a man. They would never send a woman, ever.
Well, would they send a woman to anybody?
Well, here's the thing. They would send...
Because you're not supposed to...
They would send two women, but never, ever, 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 ever would they send a woman to meet with a man.
Yeah. Well, they would...
Because you're gonna get your dick in there somehow.
Well, the thing is, you're not supposed to take Bible instruction probably from a woman anyway.
No, but that's a different thing that witnesses do. And it's funny, because I did the Bible study with them for so long, I studied with, at one point, it was Wendy and Ed were two people I studied with, and I also studied with another couple, Candace and Steve. And so there were a couple of times when we would do these studies, and they would come in, and we'd do the whole thing and go through all the emotions and shit like that. And we'd sit there talking. And if the woman was going to lead, was going to take the lead, she had to put a hat on.
What?
I fucking shit you not. She had to put a hat on. And the hat, and it always had to be the husband's hat. Do you know why?
What the fuck?
And I'll tell you why. the reason for that was because it was the man basically showing that he is allowing the woman
mm-hmm.
to take the lead.
Wow.
That he is basically saying, it's okay, you got this, you can do this. And at any time, if she was doing something, if he started to snap back in, she shut the fuck up on the spot.
Yeah.
She would stop mid-syllable. And I watched it happen dozens of times. And always deferring to the man. Every fucking time. I watched it happen dozens of times. So. That's cool.
That's
I'm not going to tell you where I work, but. It's almost like so. But come work where I work. And you can get this shit handed to you too. Now, in the while we're talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, that leads into one of my news stories. And this is from Christian Week. And the title is, or basically there wasn't really a title, but it's basically investigation into the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society and pending lawsuits. We are currently investigating a possible class action lawsuit against the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of Canada concerning alleged sexual abuse and subsequent handling by Jehovah's Witness officials.
Sorry, it's sexual abuse and subsequent handling of, like, the allegations, or...?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So basically, here's the abuse, and now we're going to cover the fuck up, okay? So, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of Canada has been accused of allegedly turning a blind eye to the sexual abuse that was allegedly inflicted upon child members of a congregation. They don't list the congregation. Childhood abuse almost always results in psychological, emotional, and physical damage, no fucking shit, and has the ability to cause long-term problems, including difficulties relating to substance abuse, relationships, loss of education, all these other things. And then there's a law firm, which I won't list here, but they list a law firm here
yeah.
that's basically taking up the class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, if you were a JW diddled by somebody, get in touch with us, we'll help you get money. So I just thought that was interesting because you got one people on one hand, you got to hang out the bus saying, oh, here, what does the Bible really teach? Well, but that's different from what our society teaches.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. We should talk more time. Maybe we should set up a little thing where we talk about different kind of sects. Sects.
Oh, okay.
Get your mind out of the gutter. That's my job. Of Christianity. Because, like, yeah, so...
There's tons of them.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to do a show long enough, we can cover all the 44,000 or so, right? But, like, because I've studied with JWs, I've studied with Mormons, I've done lots of different studies with stuff, and, oh, did I tell you, you listened to the interview with Dave Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what didn't get recorded, because we talked about it after we stopped recording, is, oh, should I say this? I don't know if I can say this. I can't say it. I'll ask David first.
Yeah.
And then if he's okay with me saying it, then I'll say it. So forget I said anything. Nothing to say here.
Move along.
Yeah. Let's move on to some other news. So this is also from Christian Week magazine. This article by Kyle Mantella. And you ever heard of Theodore Shubat?
No.
Okay, look him up, because he's fine.
Of course I have, but for our listeners who haven't heard of him.
Right. No. Look him up. He's hysterical.
What's his name?
Theodore Shubat. And it should be Theodore Shubat to the head. this is the title of the article. I don't like this, but I'm going to read it as it was written. Killing fags should not be considered a hate crime.
Okay.
All right.
First of all, you used the word fag in this sentence right there.
Yep.
Is hate speech.
Yeah. So extremist and anti-LGBTQ activist Theodore Shubat, who was featured in a radically anti-gay documentary made by Janet Porter called Light Wins.
Light Wins.
Along with various right-wing activists and Republican elected officials back in 2015, posted a new video on his website, and that's why I want you to go look it up. Posted a new video on his website last week, and this is dated May 1st, so just a week ago, or a little over a week ago. Posted a new video on his website insisting it should not be considered a hate crime to kill, quote unquote, fags.
Should it be a crime against humanity for killing somebody?
Well, we'll get into that. While ranting about Tucker Carlson's interview with Caitlyn Jenner last week and demanding that Jenner be arrested and executed for promoting perversion, Shubat declared that murdering gays should not qualify as a hate crime. Quote, "Fags kill each other all the time," he said, "and the reason they kill each other all the time is because they're demon-possessed people, and Satan wants them to kill each other because Satan hates humanity."
Wow. Does he have evidence that they are killing each other?
Yeah. If and someone...
How is Caitlyn Jenner promoting perversion or whatever, he said?
What? I don't know.
She's being who she is.
Yeah. Yeah. But not what Jesus made him. Right? Just notice what I said. Him.
Yeah.
If someone kills a homosexual because they're a homosexual, that should not be considered a hate crime, he continued. Because right when you start considering that a hate crime, then you might as well say, well, if someone kills somebody because they're a pedophile, that should also be a hate crime. So I don't know if this guy understands what a false dichotomy is, but he just spit one right the fuck out in his article.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Shubat insisted that he is not only advocating, he's not only advocating that people go out and kill sodomites, but rather merely arguing that killing of perverts, now he calls them perverts, should not be a hate crime because killing the sodomite is, oh, hang on. If killing the sodomite is a hate crime, then all of a sudden killing a pedophile is going to be a hate crime. All of a sudden killing a zoophiliac is going to be a hate crime.
What the hell is that?
I should have looked that up. I didn't. I think okay. I think it's on line with bestiality.
Okay.
Somebody send us an email if I just totally fucked that up.
Even consider hate crimes. What about killing people is bad?
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that period. One of the commandments?
Yeah. Thou shalt not kill.
Right.
Unless they're gay.
Okay. And then he goes right off the rails with his Christian mouth. It's bullshit, he stated. This is the way all the sodomites are using. This is what all the sodomites are doing to normalize homosexuality.
What are they doing?
End quote. They're being themselves. And that's normalizing. Newsflash. It doesn't fucking matter. And this goes back, I'll say it, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If you're not into gay sex, you should totally not have gay sex. Yeah.
And do these people realize that gay people have been around since the beginning of time anyway? And they're going to be around forever?
No.
Get over
not
it.
If he has his way, he's going to fucking kill them all.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand.
Because that'll take care of it.
I don't understand how this guy isn't in fucking prison for inciting violence.
Yeah.
He's calling people to go out and kill other people. So, thou shalt not kill. But here's the thing, and this is the fucking, this is one of the crazy contradictions. I don't want to get too far off the main course here. But the Bible does not teach not to kill. In one line it says, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
But
there's a whole bunch of other reasons to kill.
But there's a great book, I forget the author name, but it's called Soaked in Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a book written by an author. I'll have it for you next week, where basically he talks about all of the people that are either killed directly by God or who God orders to kill.
Yeah.
In the Bible. So God is not against killing.
Not at all.
If God says it's totes okay to kill somebody, you better fucking kill that person.
Yeah, well, there's all those stories about going to and killing the neighboring village and, you know, keeping the young girls for yourself.
Oh, 1 Samuel 15:3, when God orders Joshua to slaughter the Amalekites.
Yeah.
And tells him to kill everything, including the animals, and dash the baby's heads against their... Blessed are... I think it's somewhere... I forget where it is. I'll have to get this verse, too. Blessed are those who dash the baby's heads against the rocks.
Yeah.
What?
That's fucking... But they get to keep the young girls for themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. So this guy... I don't understand... Is it the free speech thing? But hate... See, in Canada, hate speech is not protected under free speech.
Yeah.
If I was to spew some hateful shit right now and try to incite violence, I could very, very easily be arrested for it. Yeah. Because hate speech is not protected under free speech. I don't know if hate speech is protected under free speech in the U.S. Like, I don't think you should be able to say anything you want. I think that there's a fundamental problem with that. Because when you say shit, it can have repercussions.
Well,
but here's a guy who is just saying, go out and kill sodomites.
Well, no, he's not. He's just saying he doesn't think that if you do, it should be considered a hate crime.
He
is not saying go out and kill them. He's just saying that if you kill them,
thank you, Mr. fucking technicality. You're right. You're right. He's not saying kill it.
He's not telling you to go. He's just saying that it shouldn't be considered bad if you right. do.
I'm not saying, but so it's like, I'm not saying go kill them, but what I'm saying is, like, you know what? Technically, you are right, but that's a real fucking weak line to walk.
See, the thing is with free speech is that you shouldn't worry about offending anybody by saying what you say. Now, if you go out, if he actually said, go kill gay people, because it's God's will, or, you know, you should, then he's got an issue. Right, because he's actually inciting violence. He's telling people to go do something.
But you don't think he's inciting violence in what he's doing? Like, you don't think that's an incitement of violence?
But he's not telling people to go. He's not actually saying go kill these people. He's just saying that if you were to kill them, I wouldn't find you as doing anything wrong. But the government, the country that you live in, still doesn't want you to kill people, regardless of who they are.
Yeah.
You're still gonna go get your ass is still gonna go to jail, no matter who it is you kill. You killed somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what he is being, though?
He's a stupid dumbass.
Well, yeah, okay. You know what else you know what else he's being? He's being biblically correct. Right?
Oh yeah.
We talked about this before, Leviticus 20:13.
Yeah.
Right? He's likely, and I don't know a lot about this guy. I've watched a couple of his videos. He is, in my estimation, batshit fucking crazy. But he is looking at the Bible, and he's reading the Bible, and he's saying, Bible says X, I believe X, therefore I can do X because Bible, it's circular reasoning.
Yeah.
But Bible says X is okay, so I'm going to do X. Bible clearly says, if a man lays with a man as he does a woman, he's done something despicable and should be put to death.
Yeah.
So, I've talked about this with lots of believers before, and, you know, quotes like that and say, well, you know, but that's not what, you know, a lot of them will say that that's the old covenant and shit like that.
Yeah, Jesus came and wiped all that shit clean.
Yeah, but, and there's lots of good arguments. There's lots of good arguments to get around that too. But it's, yeah. Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, Trump's on that line with, like, inciting violence when he was at his rallies when he was campaigning, and he was saying, like, you know, when people, and there were people yelling at him, he's like, get him out of here. It's like, you know what we used to do to people like that?
Yeah.
And so, people were physically injured by Trump supporters.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's carry on from Shubat. Because now I got another interesting thing here, which I think we can break up into bits and pieces too, because it's five different things, but the title is fitting in with what Mr. Shubat said. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it.
Yeah.
And this was written by Benjamin L. Corey. Again, from Christian Week magazine.
That title, God said it, I believe it, and that's that, or whatever it is. It's they had that as a mural on the wall of a school down in the southern states somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, God said it, I believe it, and that's that. It's like so just believe everything that's in the Bible. Don't even question it.
Yeah.
It just is.
I love the Bible.
This is what they're doing with children.
I love the Bible, says Benjamin L. Corey. It's why I spent 8 years of my life in seminary, why I served as a church pastor, and when I served as a church pastor, even when they couldn't afford to pay me. It's why even now I end up finding Greek flashcards in the most random places in my house. Because, of course, you know, the Bible what one of that Greek was one of the original languages.
Okay, so he's got flashcards and he just like did like a 52-card pickup in the house, like, and now he's finding them.
Exactly. but my love for the Bible includes honesty.
Let's be honest. Seriously, yeah. Come on.
Yep. When we love someone or something, it's easy to grow to see them the way you want to see them, in your mind, often overlooking obvious realities that, if acknowledged, would create more work for the relationship. I did that for many years with the Bible.
So he's actively saying, yeah, there's ugly shit in the Bible that I overlook?
Well, let's let him say it. But now my love for it includes a willingness to embrace it, all of it, and be honest about that. In my years of studying wrestling, I don't think actually professional wrestling, I think it means wrestling with the Bible, and growing to love the Bible deeper and more honestly, I've come to embrace and acknowledge that when we read the words on the page, we're reading a lot more than just those words. So here's five things we're reading when we're reading the Bible.
All right, let's go.
Number five, you're reading books and letters where the primary or original meaning is what the author intended the original audience to understand. What does he mean by that?
I don't know.
I remember learning in Sunday school that the Bible was God's love letter to us. Oh, pardon me, I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. It's a cute idea. No, it's not. But it's less than helpful because we're not the original audience, and that matters.
That's the one fucked up love letter.
Yeah.
Killing the Amalekites and shit. And
exactly.
Raping women and slavery, and that's one hell of a love letter.
Wow. Exactly. Exactly. It's like daddy drinks because you cry. God kills because I don't know. The reality is that these are sacred books, stories, and letters where the primary or original meaning is that the meaning that the original author intend to convey to the original audience. So taken from the first
part of the story. Who's the original audience?
Yeah. And we're neither of those parties. It's almost like trying to understand an inside joke. Until you understand the relationship between the sender and the receiver of the message and the context of what's being discussed, it's easy to walk away with all sorts of broken understandings and missing what's really being communicated. This makes things like understanding ancient culture, customs, general history, and a critical aspect of understanding of the Bible impossible.
So he knows it's impossible to understand the Bible as is today, but he loves it anyway.
He still fucking loves it. So that's number five. We'll get to the rest of it in the following.
That's so freaking backwards. He knows that the Bible is wrong.
Yeah.
And he's not the intended audience,
right.
And he doesn't know who wrote it, and he doesn't know what the actual intent of the words were, but he loves everything it says anyway.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Sorry. WT fuck.
These guys... Sometimes you just want to slap people.
Dean, you're turning awfully red for a brown guy.
I just want to shake these people. It's like, wait, Jesus.
Sorry, shaken idiot syndrome. Okay, so enough about... One other thing just popped into my head. Maybe we should talk about it now. Did you see all the shit floating around Facebook about Stephen Fry?
No.
So Stephen Fry did an interview in 2015. It was on BBC. Basically, the interviewer asked him, what would you say to God if you were confronted with God? And he basically gave a rather scathing reply.
I think I've heard the reply.
Yeah, he is now facing blasphemy libel charges.
Oh my God, because they do that in England.
Yeah. So like Canada, England has a blasphemy libel law. And he's now he's now being investigated.
But isn't there a statute of limitations on this? It's 4 years ago.
Well, God's, you know.
Eternal.
God's eternal. He's eternally pissed. I don't know how they determined God was eternally pissed. Fuck that. I thought that was, it was something I saw in my news feed, and then I was going to talk about it, and then I wasn't going to talk about it, but fuck it, we're talking about it.
It was a great reply, too.
It was a great reply. Yeah. Like, basically, you're a monster, you know, and you have you got a lot of splaining to do.
Yeah, he's talking about parasites and children's eyes that eat their way out and cause blindness. It's like, why does that even exist?
Yeah, why does it need to exist? Why does that need to exist?
Why did you create a universe where that, there's a creature, a parasite, whose sole purpose is to blind children?
Yeah. Yep. And now he's facing possible blasphemy charges. I saw, I saw it today. The reason it caught my eye today was Lawrence Krauss posted about it on Twitter and on Facebook. And so I responded to his reply saying, you know, with a hashtag, you know, sadly Canada has one too. And then a bunch of people jumped over saying, really? Like, Canada has a blasphemy libel law? And yeah, we do. And we got chatting about it a little bit, and it's just ridiculous. My wife was saying, it's like, are you sure the podcast you're doing is safe? Not really, honey.
But nobody's listening to it, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. We're the only two listeners. I think on our wives.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I got another report from iTunes. We're up to an average of 54 downloads per episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's more than just you and me and our wives.
I downloaded 12 times myself. No, I'm just kidding. So I
did it 30 times.
Oh, fuck. It's just you and me. Son of a bitch. Fuck you, man.
No, 54. That's surprising.
Yeah, it is. It is.
All right, cool.
Okay. All right, let's do our fallacy and let's get the fuck out of here because now we're over an hour again. Oh. Okay, so what are we doing today? We're doing
straw man.
We're doing a straw man today. And
he's off to see the wizard with the Tin Man and Dorothy.
There's a great book. It's called Logically Fallacious.
Mm-hmm.
Not Logically Fallatio.
I was going to go there, but I decided not to.
I went there. I go there. Count on me for all your sexual jokes. Okay. So the book's called Logically Fallacious. It's by a guy named Bo Bennett. And I recommend picking it up. It's a good book. Anyway, so what is the straw man fallacy? So the description of the straw man is substituting a person's actual position or argument with a distorted, exaggerated, or misrepresented version of the position of the argument. Okay? So it lists a couple of different logical forms and a couple of examples. So I'm going to go right to the examples because I really like the examples that he put here. So, example one, and the dude here is Ted. Ted, biological evolution is both a theory and a fact. I like Ted.
Yes, he's right.
Edwin is a fuckhead. Edwin's response is, that is ridiculous. How can you possibly be absolutely certain that we evolved from pond scum?
I never said we did.
Exactly. Ted. Actually, that is a gross misrepresentation of my assertion. I never claimed we evolved from pond scum. Unlike math and logic, science is based on empirical evidence and, therefore, a scientific fact is something that is confirmed to such a degree that it would be perverse to withhold provisional consent. The empirical evidence for the fact that biological evolution does occur falls into this category. I like this. So the explanation is that Edwin ignorantly mischaracterized the argument by A, assuming we evolved from pond scum, and whatever that is exactly, and B, assuming fact means certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this a lot, in the atheist community, where people try to, they just try to twist it. And it's funny, because I grew up seeing some of these things. Sorry, what were we going to say?
No, I was just saying that the absolute certainty thing is it does come up a lot. And any good scientist and atheist for that matter, doesn't claim 100% certainty on anything. There's a caveat to everything that they say in science. The evidence leads us to believe this. This is what we figured out so far.
Yeah.
There's always a caveat because there could be new evidence that's brought forth that changes everything.
Yeah.
This is what science does. It says, so far, with the knowledge we have, with the evidence we have, at this point, this is the best thing we know.
Yeah, I love what Lawrence Krauss says about it. He says, he said in one of the debates he did, he's like, as a scientist, I don't believe anything. He said, something's either likely or unlikely based on the evidence.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's like, because the person he was debating was trying to straw man him, saying, you believe. And he's like, I don't believe anything.
Yeah.
And it was very funny because he got kind of pissy about the whole thing. He's like, I don't believe anything. He really kind of raised his voice a little bit. Like, that's fucking awesome.
It's the whole thing. Like, evidence is extremely likely.
Yeah.
Evolution. With all the evidence we have, it shows that evolution as we have it described today is extremely likely to happen that way. Just like gravity. It's extremely likely that large bodies attract one another.
Yeah.
But if there is other evidence that is brought forth, it'll overturn anything that we know.
Yep. It's like, what is it that even Darwin said when he was, not in On the Origin of Species, but in some of the other papers, one of the ones I think his son did, when he said he was talking, when he was having a conversation with his dad, and he was confronted with somebody else to say, you know, what would it take for your theory to be discarded?
Yeah.
And he said, fossilized rabbits in the Precambrian.
Exactly. Just new evidence. That's it.
You know, it's like, show me a fossilized rabbit in the Precambrian and my theory is destroyed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that can't be according to what I've theorized.
All these religious people, all they gotta do is bring forth evidence.
That's right.
And every atheist will no longer be an atheist.
Exactly.
Just show us evidence.
I'm not sure which God we believe in. But anyway. So that's a straw man. Don't do it. If you're engaging in logical fallacies, you're an asshole.
Just cut and dry.
That's right.
All the evidence we have to this date shows us that if you engage in logical fallacies, you're an asshole.
You're an asshole. That's right. I'm not certain.
No, we're not claiming 100% certainty.
Right.
Well, you're most likely an asshole.
Okay, holy shit. That's, that is officially a new record, an hour and 7 minutes.
Wow, okay.
Yay.
We gotta do this quicker next time.
Exactly.
I don't know who's hanging on for this one.
This is killing me.
All these 54 people gotta be saying, shut up already, guys. Exactly. Come on.
Motherfuckers, I got shit to do.
You got to have less news story. I come here with one, you come here with five. What the fuck?
You have a real job. I have the ability to just...
You have a real job where people hand you stupid shit.
But I have more time to sit and look up shit.
You do.
So that's why I look up more shit. Okay, anyway.
I don't even get a chance to check my fucking Facebook feed on a regular basis.
That's because you have two little rugrats that run around and make your life miserable.
But so far, with all the evidence I have to date, kids ruin everything. But they might take care of me when I go to old, so...
Exactly. Well, not if you say shit like that. I heard that fucking podcast 25 years ago, motherfucker. Get your own soup.
But, you have exactly. My pill.
All right. Well, I think that's enough for now. So we're going to wrap it up. And until next week, take it easy and... we will be at you with another bit of debauchery very soon.
And hopefully spring will have sprung.
Yeah, it won't be fucking weather.
Cold rain anymore.
Motherfucker. All right, but until that time, I have been Michael.
And I am Dean.
And we shall see you later.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.